people is God's will? When their deaths can be prevented? Overmeyer forced a smile. That's why I asked you about power, Dr. Stoner. We must balance the power of our enemies. If they build nuclear weapons, then we have no choice but to build them also. No defense is perfect. Some of the missiles will get through. Therefore, we must have enough weapons to convince our enemies that it would be a devastating mistake to attack us. Mutual assured destruction, Stoner muttered. You know the phrase. I remember it from my earlier life. So there we are. The United States has no intention of striking first. I can't say the same for the Islamists and their notion of jihad. Holy war, said Stoner. The ultimate oxymoron. We tried to reason with them, Overmeyer said, perspiring more freely now. We've tried for years, decades. They just won't listen to us. They supply the terrorists with arms, money, training facilities, and we must fight their terrorist bands wherever we find them. And now they're building ballistic missiles and nuclear warheads for them, said Stoner. They are intent on war, the Archbishop replied, as if speaking about an unpleasant neighbor. We must be strong enough to deter them. And if deterrence fails? Archbishop Overmeyer spread his hands, palms upward. God will protect us. Stoner's brows rose slightly. I see that you're digging a shelter for yourself. His face hardening, Overmeyer said, I have the responsibility of protecting and guiding my flock, which includes far more than merely North America. I must protect myself and enough of a staff to begin the rebuilding process after the war. Stoner said, Then you're ready to fight. You're prepared to go to war. I cannot leave my people naked to their enemies. Why are they your enemies? Stoner asked. Archbishop Overmeyer hesitated, but he quickly recovered. They hate us. They despise our wealth. They fear our power. Worst of all, they will not accept the truth of Holy Scripture. They deny our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as you deny their prophet Muhammad and the teachings of the Tao. Heathen sects, Overmeyer spat. Shaking his head, Stoner said, There's more to it than that. For more than two generations, the new morality, the light of Allah, the new Tao, and other religious movements have lived in peace.
Peace? Bishop Craig snapped. With their terrorists constantly threatening us?
And your army fighting brush wars across half the world, Stoner retorted. But despite your differences, you agreed on accommodating one another, more or less. Why this move now toward war? Sister Angelique spoke up.
I think you know, Dr. Stoner.
Do I?
Population keeps growing. Resources don't keep pace. Even with the raw materials and energy we import from space, population growth outstrips our ability to feed and clothe and house the constantly growing numbers of people.
Then why don't you allow the people to control their population growth? Stoner asked.
Sacrilege! Bishop Craig snapped. Birth control? Legalized abortion? Never!
Stoner closed his eyes briefly. In early societies, religious taboos were necessary, he said, so softly that Archbishop Overmeyer and the others unconsciously leaned toward him to hear. Religious rules are digital. Yes or no. Allowed or forbidden. There's no middle ground. Some societies made taboos against eating pork.
That was thousands of years ago,
Angelique interrupted with a thin, understanding smile. Yes, but the taboo against pork still stands in many parts of the world, doesn't it? She nodded grudgingly. And the taboo against killing cows in what's left of the Hindu society.
Yeah,
said Tavalera. And the taboo against family planning in many societies.
Abortion is murder,
Bishop Craig insisted. Abortion is not the only form of family planning. It's the last resort in most cases, the last desperate resort.
It's still murder.
Stoner fixed him with a hard stare, then turned back to the Archbishop. By keeping and enforcing the taboo on family planning, you keep poor families poor. You maintain your power over them by giving them the solace of religion, but you make certain that they stay poor so that you can maintain your hold on them.
Overmeyer glowered at him.
That's a vicious lie. We are here to help the poor and all people who accept God's way.
And who decides what is God's way?
You do.
The Archbishop's angry expression shifted into a guarded smile.
Why, of course we do, Dr. Stoner. Who else is better qualified? Who else sees the big picture and understands all the ramifications of the problem?
Nobody, Stoner admitted, because you won't let anyone into your little circle of power unless and until they agree with you, heart and soul. Archbishop Overmeyer's smile widened.
God's will, Dr. Stoner. We are doing God's work.
Are you? Leading your people into a devastating war? That's God's work.
His will be done.
Stoner slowly got to his feet. Then take a good look at what you're calling God's will. Abruptly, all the screens on the room's four walls flashed into a panoramic view of the city of Atlanta, with the New Morality Complex at its heart. The sky was clear blue, flecked with only a few puffs of clouds. Then, through the sky, streaked a series of blazing meteors. They exploded into searing, eye-burning nuclear fireballs. The city vaporized, buildings blown to white-hot radioactive rubble. Flesh flayed from the bones of men, women, children. Ponds and pools and reservoirs flashed into scalding steam. The very ground pulverized into dust, and the dust sucked up into mushroom clouds that boiled up high into the stratosphere. The sound was overpowering. Enormous thundering explosions that shook the bones of the little group in the room. They were no longer in the room. They stood outdoors, helplessly screaming as the overwhelming devastation poured down all around them. They saw a white-hot missile warhead diving toward them, a hardened penetrator that smashed into the burning ground and plowed deep before its nuclear bomb exploded with the fury of hell. The concrete-lined chambers deep underground collapsed, burying alive all those who were not killed by the blast or searing star-hot inferno. But not before they screamed a final, pain-filled, terrified wail of doom. Abruptly, they were back in the Archbishop's office. The thundering, shattering roar of the explosions finally stopped. The screens showed utter devastation beneath dark, roiling clouds that flashed with lightning but brought no rain. The ground was broken, red-hot, glowing sullenly like the landscape of hell. Nothing moved. Hot winds blew across the barren rubble, but there was no blade of grass to be seen. Nothing alive anywhere. Where the underground shelter had been, there was a deep, blackened hole, smoking and stinking of burnt flesh. Overmeyer stared at the images, mouth agape, hands twitching on his desktop, perspiration pouring down his face. Craig buried his face in his hands. Sister Angelique pressed both her fists to her face, trying to stifle the sobs that were rising inside her as she stared wild-eyed at the horror. Tavalera tried to get up from his chair, but his legs failed him, and he thumped back into the seat and threw his arm over his streaming eyes. Still standing in the middle of the room, surrounded by the awful destruction of a sterilized earth, Stoner could feel that hot radioactive wind on his face. God's will, he muttered. Archbishop Overmeyer tried to speak, tried to answer, but he collapsed over his desk, barely breathing. Chapter 5. Angelique recovered before any of the others.
The Archbishop, she cried, and rushed to the semi-conscious figure slumped across his desk.
Stoner cleared the screens and went to him also. Brushing at the tears runneling her cheeks with the heel of one hand, Angelique bent over the Archbishop's body. Stoner gripped the man's soft, pudgy shoulder and shook him roughly.
"Wake up," he said, almost in a growl. "You can't get away from it that easily."
Overmeyer sat up, blinking with confusion. Stoner calmed the Archbishop's heartbeat, slowed the flood of adrenaline pouring into his bloodstream. Briefly, he thought to restore the endocrine balance that was so badly out of normal,
but decided that if Overmeyer didn't take proper care of his own body, that was his decision. Stoner looked into